Amen.
Amen. Thank God for our director of music.
Yes.
May the Lord be with her. Thank God for all those who sang, Deacon Nate Pierre and Sister Claire. Amen. We're going to continue in the book of Luke. We're still in chapter 9. We're still in our Jesus Said series. We're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to preach about Jesus for the next few months. Today we have a story that is outside of the resurrection, is the only miracle that's recorded in every gospel. And that's the feeding of the 5,000. And we're going to look at what was really going on here. Amen. Let's all stand and we're going to read Luke chapter 9. Excuse me. Verses 10 through 17. Very familiar text. One that I'm pretty sure most of us that have been in church all our lives have heard preached on many occasions. And the apostles, when they returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, and he spoke unto them of the kingdom of God, and he healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12, and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and to the country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we go and buy meat for all these people. For they are about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down in 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat, and all were filled. And there was taking up fragments that remained to them, 12 baskets. 12 baskets. I was going to speak today on the subject, food for the journey. Food for the journey. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you once again for your word, for your son, for the message, for the gospel. We ask that you would just bless these peoples that have come out today, Father God. Give them a word from above, Father God. Give them a healing word. Give them a strengthening word. Give them a word that will minister to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Food for the journey. Last week we talked about those apostles. We preached from a message called you. So you call yourself an apostle. Last week, when we looked at verse number 9, chapter 9, and he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority, chapter 9, verse 1, over all devils and to cure diseases. We noticed that they were sent out as disciples. Okay? Everybody catch that?
Yes.
When they came back, they returned as apostles.
Amen.
What's the point? Apostles had to do something.
All right.
You just couldn't call yourself an apostle. You had to back it up.
Amen.
With some apostle type works. And they had returned in verse number 10. And they had returned. And they returned with the title of apostles. Now many of us, I know one year, Cindy and I and Ray, and we traveled to New Orleans by vehicle. What a long trip. Anybody ever traveled to New Orleans? What a long drive. And that same year, we had already made plans to go to Disney World. So about maybe a month later, we had to get on the road again and go to Florida. That was a long summer. And we struggled on the way home from that trip. And I remember stopping several times. We just stopped and we just had to rest. We just had to rest. And I say that because, you know, many of us have had those type of days where whether it's a long day at work, you know, where you've dealt with a lot of maybe you work at a place where you work with people like myself, you dealt with a lot of attitudes and behaviors, or just working with people can be stressful. Because everybody's not always on the same page. So here these disciples are coming back from this journey. From this journey where they were out ministering. And they were out healing people. God had given them power and authority over demons, over sickness. He gave them power. And when they came back, they were exhausted. At the same time, if you study the book of Mark chapter 6, it was at this same time that John the Baptist had been beheaded. And again, I didn't read verses 7 in Luke 9, but it says, now Herod the Tetrarch heard all these things that were done by him. And he was perplexed because it was said of some that John had risen from the dead. So Herod wanted to see these folks. And I don't think he wanted to see them just to pat them on the back. Okay, so the work that they had done was not only strenuous and straining and tiresome, but it was also dangerous. How many know doing ministry can be dangerous? Doing ministry can be dangerous. You know, we talk about going up into the Kindred Circle. We talk about going into Victory. You know, I don't know how many folks want to go with us. Okay, God's work is dangerous work.
Amen.
Okay. You're not going to preach the same gospel message that all 12 apostles were martyred for, save John, and not get some type of negative reaction.
Amen.
See, I've heard people when they pass away that nobody disliked him. And you know, if you live that kind of life, where they say that at your funeral, everybody loved him. Something wrong with that. And you know, I know Roy, but manager and supervisor and a warden, and you're not going to be effective as a supervisor if your goal is to have everybody like you.
All right.
It just don't work. It just don't work. If you live your life and then come the time for you to pass away and say, well, you know, everybody loves him. Be careful with that.
Yes.
Especially if you call yourself a man of God, because if you're a man of God, a woman of God, everybody's going to like you. I know that's right.
Amen.
So the apostles returned for this tedious journey, and they had done some things. They had done some things, and they wanted to tell their master, their Lord and Savior, what they had done. How about that? Now imagine, and I'm not going to go back into last week's lesson, but I'd like to talk about these folks that call themselves apostles, and the key is they call themselves. If they came back from a journey, what would they have to tell Jesus? See, we have to be careful about even calling ourselves, because we all are called. But what would we have to tell Jesus about our life that Jesus met with us? What would we have to tell Jesus about how our week went or how our month went? Jesus, this is what I did this month for you. I said last week, when an apostle leaves the Cleveland Clinic, or an emergency room, or the county morgue, he comes home and he prepares to do a eulogy. Okay? One story, and I'm going to go. One story just to get these apostles, because these folks came back as apostles. This is a great story in the Acts, in the book of Acts, chapter 19. I just want to read this, and I'm going to move on to my lesson. But this is a great story, and really, it's for today. This is as for today. I mean, to me, the Bible is like it was written just months ago. In Acts chapter 19, we hear some folks that were running around calling themselves apostles. Okay? And they ran into something. Verse 13. They ran into something. Okay? We have to be careful who we say we are now, because God does give us power and authority. Okay? But he also gives us common sense. Okay? He says, "And certain of the vagabond Jews," vagabond meaning they were traveling. They went from city to city. They were restless. Sort of like these, you see these superstar ministers, they go from city to city. They have the Quicken Loans, and then they have the gun, and then they in Detroit, then they in Florida. They on tour. And that's what the vagabond Jews were. They were vagabond Jews. They called themselves exorcists. They were casting out demons. Okay? And they took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits. And they had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached." Okay? Y'all with me? Acts 19:13.
Yeah.
So they went to this house. And they took on the name the Lord Jesus. Just like the apostles. Saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached." So you gotta be careful. See, these were fake apostles. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of the priest, which did so. Okay? Seven sons, seven brothers. And the evil spirit answered. Now, a couple of y'all don't believe in evil spirits. I do. Okay? I do. I've seen them. I've experienced them. Y'all want to hear some stories? Just talk to me sometime about some of the things that I've experienced working in a Christian and working in a correctional facility. It's full of evil spirits.
Yeah.
Okay? I had a young man come to my office the other day, and we had done a clear out and took all this stuff, and he come to my office, he wanted me to go and get it. And I said, "I don't go through junk." And he said, "I'm feeling homicidal." I said, "You feeling suicidal?" He said, "No, I'm feeling homicidal." And he got on his arm, tattooed on his arm. He got a picture of a gun with a bullet going through a head coming out the other side. He got that tattooed on his body. And he's talking to me about feeling homicidal. And I'm talking to Jesus the whole time.
Yes.
Listen. The evil spirit answered and said, "Hey, evil spirit talking to these fake apostles." And said, "Jesus, I know." See, the evil spirits know Jesus.
Yeah.
So see, the evil spirit will recognize the Jesus in you.
Yeah. Yeah.
The evil spirit will recognize the Jesus in you. So you can run around here all you want, talking about how I love Jesus, how I love Jesus. But the evil spirit will recognize whether or not you love Jesus or not.
Come on.
So like I said, you can fool me, you can fool these deacons and trustees, but you can't fool Jesus, or you're not going to fool the evil spirits, because they recognize Jesus. Listen to what he says. Look what this evil spirit says. And the evil spirit answers and says, "Jesus, I know. I know him personally. Because I'm down here because of him. And Paul I know, because Paul was full of the Holy Ghost."
Yeah.
"But who are ye?" Who are ye?
Yeah.
Question mark behind that. Now, some people take this next verse and mess it up. Say, and they'll go around teaching evil spirits, jump on people, you know, and jump on people. That's not what this is teaching.
All right.
You know, that evil spirit has jumped off of you on me. How many of y'all heard people say that? Be careful of her, that evil spirit, jump off of her. That's not what this is saying. Listen, it says, "And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house." How? Naked and wounded. See, we better be careful when we call ourselves something we ain't. We have to be careful. I like verse number 19, though. It says, and many of them, when which also used curious art, brought their books together and burnt them before all men. And they counted the price of them, about it 50,000 pieces of silver. They brought all that junk they had after they realized this was some serious stuff. They brought all them little magical books and all them movies and video, all that evil. They got all that evil out of their house. Sometimes we need to look at our video collection and some of the things that, some stuff on TV now. My Lord. I think it's stuff on TV now. It's demonic and it's teaching these young folks to kill each other.
Amen.
It's teaching. I mean, TV teaches us how to kill. I sit there and watch some of that stuff. I'm like, my Lord. Listen, let's get back to our story. And the apostles, when they returned, told him of all that they had done. They had done some stuff.
All right.
Remember, Jesus gave them power and authority. And they done some things. They healed some people. They saved some souls. They preached the kingdom of God. They delivered folks from all type of diseases. They watched the lame walk. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? Someone that has a loved one that's crippled and an apostle heals them. This is why I take this so serious when people say they're apostles, because it's a sham. It's a sham. When we see folks in wheelchairs, you see those soldiers that's coming back from Iraq with their arms and stuff blowed off, and you see them with the little stilts for legs, and these guys running around talking about they're apostles. It's a sham. It's a sham. It ought to break your heart when someone calls and says, you know what, I'm an apostle, and I'm a prophet. That's bad theology.
Right.
And it ought to hurt the true man or woman of God. Amen. Especially when you see folks that are lame and crippled. These folks was serious about it. And Jesus knew they were serious about it. Jesus knew that really they were tired and they were exhausted. Listen what he said. And he took them and went aside privately to a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. Now, Bethsaida is an interesting city. It's a port town. It was what they call a fish town. Okay? So he took them to not a desert place, but a private place in a desert land. But Bethsaida was also really the headquarters of Jesus. Jesus did so many miracles in Bethsaida that Bethsaida was put in the same category as Capernaum and Chorazin, because he said so many miracles have been done before these folks that... Let me read it so I can get it right. In Matthew chapter 11. Here's the word we're going to study on Wednesday. Verse 11 and 20 in Matthew says, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. God done all his miracles in an effort to get folks to repent, to change how they were living.
Right.
Now, if you're sitting here today and you know God has done some miraculous things in your life, and you still have not given your life to the Lord, and I'm not talking about in word only, you're going to fall into this category right here. Look at verse 21. He said, woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Somebody say, what about Tyre and Sidon? These are heathen cities. These were cities that God had cursed. Look at verse 22. It says, but I say unto you, Bethsaida, Chorazin, and Capernaum, but I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, that was Jesus' headquarters, Capernaum, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Solomon in the day of judgment than for you. Now what is he saying?
Yeah. What is he saying?
He said Sodom and Gomorrah, a city known for homosexuality and perversion, would have been saved if God would have decided to do some miracles there.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some folks that have seen more of God's miracles and still have refused to accept Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We say God is good, and he is.
Yes, he is.
But he is also a God of judgment. He's also a God of judgment. Look at this. Let's keep moving. We see the apostles in Luke chapter 9, verse 10. You see them coming back, and you see God has taken them into a private place, a desert place, so he can minister to them. The same thing happened with Jesus when he was in the wilderness for those 40 days, and he was weak, and the angels came and ministered to him. So Jesus is doing the same thing for his apostles.
Yeah.
He's ministered to them. He's ministering unto them and back empowering them. Okay? So we're only going to have a few moments of rest in this laborious work we do. You know, it's not going to all be just happy all the time. See, we got a theology that's out there today, happy all the time. But how many of you know ministry is hard work?
Yes, it is.
Ministry is hard work, and you're going to have some rough times.
Amen.
And a lot of times the rough times are going to outnumber the good times.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But like he said to Lazarus and the rich man, he said, Lazarus, he had his tough times here. But you was being blessed the whole time. See, we want all our blessings now. And we don't want them later. And we have to be careful with that theology. Look at verse number 11. It says, the people follow. The people follow. They have to follow.
Yes.
Because God is doing some work. And they will follow us. People will follow you if you are a blessing unto them. Look what he says. Three things will happen when you come to the Lord. Three things will happen when you come to the Lord. In verse number 11, we see three things that's happening to these people when they came to the Lord. It says, and the people, when they knew it was Jesus, the miracle working man, they followed him. Okay? They followed him, and they went into a desert place. This wasn't a day or a couple hours trip. Remember, they didn't have cars, they didn't have buses, they didn't have helicopters and nothing. They was walking on feet. This was a long journey that they followed because they had to go all the way around the lake if you study it. The disciples got on the boat and they went across the lake. They had to go all the way around the lake. Okay? So it's going to cost you something to follow Jesus.
Yes.
It's going to cost you something to follow Jesus. We want a convenient Christianity, but it's not convenient about following Christ. And I may tell you that. It's tough. It's tough being a man of God. It's tough being a woman of God. It takes hard work.
Amen.
I know we don't want to hear that. But that's the truth.
Yeah.
It's sacrificial. It's going to cost you something.
Amen.
They followed him. Look at verse number 11. Three things. The first thing, he received them. They were broken. They were lost. They were hurt. Some of them was in all types of condition. And it's the same way when we come to the Lord. We come bound. We come dirty. We come sinful.
Yeah.
We come broken. We come wounded. We come troubled. And you know what? God's faithful. And he will receive us no matter what our condition. He will receive us. And these people came to him and Jesus Christ did what? He received them. He received them. I don't care who you are. I know a young man that's lying in the morgue today. If he'd have came to the Lord, God would have received him. God would have received him. Second thing he will do, listen. He will speak to you. He will speak to you no matter what your condition is. He will speak to you. And you know what he's going to speak to you? He's going to speak to you the kingdom of God.
Yes.
That thief on the cross, that thief was on the cross, God received him.
Uh-huh.
And he spoke to him what? The kingdom of God. He spoke to that thief on the cross, the kingdom of God. So when that thief looked over and said, remember me.
Mm-hmm.
When what? When you come into your kingdom.
Uh-huh.
God's going to speak a kingdom message to you if you come to him. And he will receive you because we are troubled on every side. And then none of us coming to the Lord all cleaned up. It's not going to happen. Look at Job. Two verses in Job that stand out. Job 5:7 and Job 14:1. Job speaks this and God called Job the perfect man. In Job 5:7 he says, yet man is born unto trouble.
Yes.
We are born unto trouble. And the word says, then he says, as the sparks fly upward. It is as natural for us to be in trouble. See, folks, we want to sit around here like we got it all together. Folks, the truth be told, every one of us in here got some troubles.
Yeah.
We can dress it all up and we can act like we got it all together. But listen, let God be true. And every man a liar. We got issues up in here. This is natural for us to have issues as it is for when you set a fire, the sparks are going to go where?
All right.
Upward. You're not going to start a fire and the sparks go down.
All right.
That's what Job was saying here. Look what he says in Job 14:1. Y'all familiar with that one? He said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He said, in verse 2, he said, he cometh like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also like a shower, a shadow, and continueth not.
Alright.
Who in here ain't been born of a woman? Everybody in here been born of a woman.
Yeah.
And everybody in here has their share of troubles. I got mine. So don't let nobody ridicule you about your troubles.
Alright.
Okay. See, I remember my brother, when my brother came to the Lord, they ridiculed him. Folk ridiculed him. Because he came to the Lord when he found out he had cancer. And then he came to the Lord. I thank God for the cancer. Because he ain't turned back. You know, he stopped cussing, he stopped smoking, he stopped drinking, and he been serving the Lord for the last 7 or 8 years. I thank God for the cancer because if it had not been for cancer.
Amen.
He said, oh, you know, you just get sick or you're sick. Good. Good. See, that's why these doctors in these hospitals trying to extend life. They're trying to find a cure for cancer, cure for AIDS, a cure for heart disease, cure for diabetes. You listen, you can get a cure for all that. You leave in here.
Amen.
You leave in here. Now I walked to the Cleveland Clinic. I said, look at this big old beautiful hospital. Just adding a few days to somebody's life. That's all it's doing is adding a few days. You got a $50 billion building, it's going to add a few days. It's just a few days. See, most of us in here, we only got a few days left. We worry. We trying to find a cure for this. Trying to find a cure for this. Because, see, that's the world thing. They can heal you, cure you, and you can put off salvation. You can put off heaven.
Yeah.
That's what the word of God said. Listen, today, if you hear my voice,
yeah,
harden not your heart. Today. Listen. For the last 2 weeks, almost seemed like the last 2 weeks, all I've been hearing about is how many men this one particular coach has put in the NFL. Over 250 men have gone to the NFL because of this coach that recently passed away. It just bothers me because I spiritualize everything and people that know me, I just spiritualize everything. And I said, how many men did you put into heaven? How many men are in heaven because of your life? And does anybody else think like that? Is that just me? I'm like, how many men are in heaven because of you and your life and your testimony? I could care less how many men you put in the NFL. Because in all the Super Bowl trophies and playoff trophies and all them uniforms, or how them Ohio State Buckeye had the right idea. Might as well sell it, get your money now, because it ain't going to be worth nothing. It ain't going to be worth nothing. Flesh and blood shall not enter the kingdom of God. So your Super Bowl ring, you ain't going to want to talk about that when you get to heaven. When you stand before God, you know, you ain't going to talk about your Super Bowl ring. How many touchdowns you threw, how many NFL records you broke. That's not going to mean nothing to God. He's going to ask you one question. What about my son? What about my son? What did you do with Jesus Christ? That's the question. He will receive you. He will speak to you. The kingdom of God. The third thing, and he healed them that need the healing. Three things in verse number 11. He healed them that need of a healing. Listen, I need a healing. Okay? We don't want to talk about legs and arms and backs and all that. That's what God's talking about all the time. Some of us in here, we need a healing. We need relationships healed. We need marriages healed. We need relationships with our children healed. See, there's a greater healing than all the time talking about we want to be physically healed. Some of us need to be spiritually healed. Okay? We need a new heart. We need a new heart created in us. David said, create in me what?
A
clean heart. Some of us need that kind of healing. Some of us got a rotten heart.
Yes.
Bible says, out of abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. So you at work and you hear your little co-worker just a cussing and a swearing, you know they got a bad heart. You say, co-worker, you got a bad heart. How do you know? Because your mouth is nasty and foul. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You got a heart condition. Listen. Say, listen.
That was good.
That was good. Listen. Verse 13. I'm just moving down. Verse 12. And when the day began to wear away, I know y'all think I'm long preaching.
Preach. Preach.
Y'all ain't heard Jesus preach.
Alright.
Jesus preached the sun down.
That's right.
Jesus preached the sun. He heard the sun zip up his Bible. Paul was long at preaching. Y'all remember in Acts 20, Paul was long at preaching. Paul was so long at preaching, young man fell out of the window and died. See, even if it was an apostle, he followed and went on and died, you know, you'd just be dead. You go over there and look at him. That's all you could do. They had the preacher from Oklahoma. I can't call his name off. He was calling himself a healer, Oral Roberts. And he called himself a healer, and he went down to Alabama to do a revival, and a tornado hit and tore up the town, tore up the tent, and eight people from his church died, and they asked him why didn't he heal some of them. Somebody said, but that's the reality of these things. See, when they came to Jesus, he healed them. When they came to Paul, he healed them. Peter said, what? Silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I give unto you. And that man leaped to his feet. He leaped to his feet, ran all over that town, and they knew it. Look at, he said, and the day began to wear. He started to get late in the day. And came the 12 and said unto him. Now, Mark's version of this in Mark chapter 6, it says that Philip came. Okay? Or John's version, chapter 6. Philip came. Because Philip lived in Bethsaida. So Philip came and said, Jesus, you need to let them go because they got a long journey. Know what Jesus said to Philip? Turn to Mark 6. John 6, rather. This is interesting. It's interesting to me. I know y'all smelling that food. It'll be alright, though. look at Mark chapter 6. John, excuse me. I was just testing y'all. Look at John chapter 6. Look at John chapter 6. Verse number 5. Verse number 5. It said, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip. He said unto Philip, this is a test. He knew what he was going to do. When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he said, and this he said to prove him, to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. And Philip came up with all these mathematicians. He was a mathematician of the bunch, probably was working closely with Judas. And Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. God's getting ready to do something big here. Okay? See, Philip was trying to figure out what he could do without God. And that's just like us. All we want to do is what we can do without God. We're not trying to do anything with God. And then he says, one of the disciples, verse number 8, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, John 1:44. Y'all there already. John 1:44. See, the word of God is just, it just explains itself. Okay? 1:44 says, now Philip was from of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So God is testing them because they know this city. They know this city. He says, one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here, which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? So now you still see them working in their own strength. Okay? Let's go back to our text. Back to Luke. I know. I'm jumping around a little bit. It's okay? Okay. Okay. I know. Watch this. Verse 13, but he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all these people. Now, it was 5,000 men there. And back in that day, they only counted the men.
You're right.
But like David's sitting here with his wife and daughter, so it would normally be at least 3. So that would have made it 15,000 folks there. Okay? There'd been 15,000 folks there. Now, if somebody had 2 or 3 kids, it could have been up to 20,000 folks there. It was a lot of folks there. That's all we could be able to put it there. It was a lot of people there. More than 5,000 because this little lad was there. If it had been 5,000 men, it would have been at least 5,001 because this little lad was there. He says, give them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that we should go and buy meat for all these people. For there are about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples. I don't know why he called them back to their head. Took them back to the disciples. They start off as apostles because they had done some stuff. And now they doubting again. So now he went back to the disciples. Now you act like disciples. Okay. Now they act like disciples because I gave you all power and authority. Feed them. You didn't talk to me about how you didn't raise the dead and cure, heal the sick and did all these mighty things. Now feed them. Not even all y'all thinking like disciples. You're thinking like you don't have no power. That's how we think. We think like we don't have no power. We can't think outside the box.
Right.
Listen. He says, make them sit down by 50s in a company. So that'll be 300 groups of 50 if there's 15,000 folks. So he sat down 300 groups of 50, that's a lot of folks, people. That's a whole lot of people. And he made them sit down. Because God is a God of what? God is a God of order. So there's no mystery, no end. We're not being mean in here when we say, when God is speaking through his man, that we ought not be up and running all around the church. Okay? God says, he said, sit down. Okay? He said, to make them all sit down. And then he took the 5 loaves. Verse 16. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven. Okay. What's James say? Every good and perfect gift come from above. Okay? So when we partake in any of God's blessing, we ought to look up to heaven and what? Thank the Lord. We ought to thank the Lord for every good and perfect gift. Everything good comes from the Lord.
Yes.
That's for the man of God. And for the woman of God, everything good that's happening in our life, it don't come from us. It comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
It comes from the Lord. And he took the five loaves. And again, let's not misunderstand this. We're not talking about them long, long loaves of bread that you find in the supermarket today. That sliced bread, you get about 40 pieces in one. We're talking about pocket sized little loaves of bread. We're talking about the fish is little tiny sardines. Stuff that you fit in your pocket. We're not talking about, you know, he had a 18 pound walleye.
All right.
218. See, we can marginalize a whole lesson. Some folks will argue this miracle. They argue the Red Sea. Well, Red Sea really didn't part. You know, and they argue that Jesus hypnotized these folks and made them think they was getting food. All kind of stuff out there. Because people have trouble with God's word. Okay? He took the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them. What do you mean, blessed them? What do you mean, blessed them? You know, people say, oh, he prayed for them. No, he blessed them. He consecrated them. He made them holy for the Lord. Okay? That's what we do when we bless food. We make it holy.
Yes.
So, you know, I know this probably don't hit right. People, well, you got a hair in there. You know, that's a blessed hair. Y'all don't like that. You need to pull it out. And don't send it back, because when you send it back to that kitchen, it might come back with more than hair in it. Send it back if you want. Okay? He blessed them, and he broke, and he gave to the disciples to set before them, before the multitude. Now here's another picture. Here's another picture of what's happening here. God, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Come down from heaven. Now here's a picture. Here's a picture of God. Got all these folks out in the wilderness. This is a picture of the lost Hebrew children in the wilderness. Okay? And they cried out to Moses, what are we going to eat? And Moses said, bread of heaven. And Jesus called himself the bread of life. Yeah. He called himself manna come down from heaven. And now he's talking about himself here. Before God died on the cross, before he could forgive us of our sins, he had to be consecrated by God, sent down from heaven to us, and then God had to break him. God had to break the Lord. He was broken. He was wounded for our what? And then it says in verse number 16 still, he said, and he gave to the disciples to set before the multitudes. Now that's an interesting scripture there. Because see, I don't have my own message. Okay, as a minister of the gospel, as a man ordained by God, I cannot get up here and preach anything other than the word of God. If Reverend Jones is in this pulpit, he cannot preach nothing but what? The word of God. The word of God. Look at 2 Timothy. Let me share this, because this is what he's saying here. This is what he's saying here in verse number 16. This is the advice that he gave Timothy on his dying bed. And this is what God is using the ministers. He's using these disciples as an illustration that I'm going to use these men. I'm going to use these men to write this Bible. And every minister, every pastor, every minister that comes after these apostles have to preach the message that God gave them. Okay?
Amen.
You got to take it from them. Jesus could have fed them all. He could have fed all 15,000 folks. He could have just popped his finger and the food would have popped in front of them. But he wanted to set an illustration of how you are to receive from Jesus Christ. You are to receive from God's men.
Yes.
That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. He said, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, meaning the Bible.
Yeah.
And then he goes on to say something that I believe is so is just timely. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Folks, listen. I wish he just not preached the Bible. Folks don't have an appetite for the Word of God anymore. Folks don't want to hear. He said, but the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. This is why we have so many gimmicks and games in the church. Door prizes and come to church 5 Sundays in a row and you get a free dinner at Long John Silver's. And I mean, we're doing all kinds of stuff to try to get folks to come to church. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He said, he's going to draw every man. He said, in my house, in my Father's house, there are what? Many mansions. And I always say there are many mansions because, you know, there's not a whole lot of folks trying to go to heaven. Everybody in heaven wants to be in heaven. You're just not going to accidentally get to heaven. Oh, I just fell into this. No. He said, a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And we like fables. You know, fables like talking animals and stuff. You know, Aesop's fables and little talking deer and all that stuff. That's big on TV today with the kids. They like talking animals. You know, all the shows come out now. Our kids have been dumbed down so much. All the shows is just talking animals. Watch it. Just watch it. Happy Feet and Shrek. It's just talking animals. Think about all the movies. Thor and Lion King. Just talking animals because our kids can't comprehend it. Let the animals talk to them. Let's finish up. Look at verse number 17. And this is interesting as we close. Verse number 17. It says, and they did eat. Okay. Now they're eating. There was a time when they were wondering where this food was going to come from. You know. They were eating. God had blessed them. The bags, the baskets had been filled. Anybody ever wondered where the baskets came from? Anybody ever thought about that? Think about that. Where did the baskets come from? Okay. They were all filled. They just didn't get a little bit like remember what Philip said, well, just a little bit. No, they were filled. They were filled. I mean, they had the fish going and the bread going. They were filled. It says they were filled, and there was taken up fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. How about that? How about that? The great housekeeper of the world, who could predict or produce all he wanted, but he didn't want anything of God's to be wasted. And that's how we ought to be in the church. We ought to not want anything that God gives us to be wasted. This is why we have to do the things that we do. We have to do the things that we do. We have to make sure that God's blessings are accountable. We want to be accountable to God with anything God gives us. Whether he gives us a car or a house or children, we want to do everything to the glory of God.
Yes.
We want to do everything to the glory of God. So God put the 12 disciples on a cleanup crew so they could actually see. Okay? He makes them clean up this stuff. So he can actually see that you guys doubted my power. And look what I've done. Now I got enough left over for all you guys. One little thing. This little lad. His name never mentioned. He just gave his little fish. Gave his little bread. He didn't ask his name. He didn't want his name in lights. He didn't want his name outside the fish market, you know, little lad fish market, you know, none of that stuff, man. He just was behind the scenes. See, we have to take a note of this. All we do for God, God sees.
Yes.
God sees what we do. And we don't have to toot our own horns, but God sees this little lad. He didn't ask for no recognition. One of the greatest miracles in the Bible. He just said, you know what? Keep it. And when we're willing to give God, when we're willing to give God our best, He'll bless us. Listen to this story as I close. How many heard Dr. Livingston, David Livingston? He was a great missionary to Africa. Okay? And it says, he said he had a medical condition that required him to drink a lot of milk. So he kept a goat nearby, and his goat was precious to him. And one day the tribal leader of Africa came over and was eyeing his goat. The tribal chief looking at his goat said, just looking at the goat. And so David Livingston wanted to be sold out to the Lord, said, go ahead and take the goat. And so the tribal leader gave him his staff. And so later on, David Livingston was talking to his best friend, his confidant, said, I must be a fool. I gave my goat that was giving me that precious milk to this tribal leader, and all he gave me was this stupid stick. And his wise friend says, his wise friend said, listen, Mr. Livingston, that stick. Now, because you have that stick, you not only own one goat, but you own all the goats in the whole town, because that was the scepter that he gave him. So sometimes we have to realize that when we give God what's precious to us, He will bless us in ways that we always don't see. And again, God may bless you through your children, through your parents. He may bless you through someone else because of your faithfulness. And we need to learn to be faithful in all we do and not be like the false apostles who are sham. Like I say, you take the E off of shame and you get sham. These were real apostles and they did great things, and we can still do great things in this town. Amen. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your lesson of the 12 apostles. We thank you for your lesson on the 2 little fish and the 5 loaves of bread. Father God, we ask that you would just take our little bit, and use it to bless many. Father, we pray for all those who have issues and needs today. Father God, none of us in here has it all together. We pray for Sister Morrison in Cleveland. Father God, we pray that her blood pressure would come down and that you would just lay your healing hands on her. We pray for those that today, Father God, are under the weather. We pray for Sister Johnson, Father God, who's not here, who's running a fever. We pray for those who have aches and pains. But Father God, we know one thing. Through all our aches and pains, they just remind us, Father God, that we're going to one day come out of these bodies. Let us be ready, Father God, when you come. Let us be ready when you come. Father, we pray all these things today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The doors of the church are open.